Let's turn in the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke in chapter 9. We'll be reading the whole chapter through verse 62. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. These are the words, the living and true God, so let's give our attention to them. And he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. The apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12, and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge, and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fish, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments that remained to them, 12 baskets. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him 2 men, which were Moses and Elias. who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he had said, or what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. When the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying. And it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Those are God's words. There's a lot in this chapter. The chapter begins with Jesus sending out the 12 disciples to preach the gospel. Notice, it's Jesus, verse 1, who gave them power, who gave them authority over all demons to cure diseases. Only the Lord has that power. Only God has that authority, and therefore it's only Him that can give that power and authority to others. Remember now that Jesus Christ sits on the throne, and He has all power and authority given to Him as our mediator. And He grants us power and authority in our different places and spheres for His kingdom. Then we see the growing terror of Herod towards Jesus after he had put John the Baptist to death through verse 9. Through verse 17, we again have the account of the feeding of the 5,000. What abundant blessing the Lord shows and mercy towards many who do not believe in Him, yet are following Him because of His miracles. That's what we learn in John's Gospel. They're following Him because of His miracles. And yet He still showed mercy to them. And this reminds us of His common grace and mercy to all people, that the Gospel is freely offered to all who would believe, Jew and Gentile. And then through verse 27, Peter's confession of Christ being the Messiah, and Jesus' warning to all of us to follow Him by taking up our cross, serving and suffering for Him. But the warning, verse 26, not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, lest He be ashamed of us, verse 26. And then confirming this through verse 36, and the account of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, by which He will come in glory to judge the world. To all of God's children, a transfiguration, showing forth His glory, and is an encouragement of what He just taught about taking up our cross, serving Him, even suffering for Him. It's an encouragement to suffer for Him and never be ashamed. And He gives us that picture of His glory, of which we will also be glorified in union with Him. And then through verse 42, Christ casting out the demon from the child, and again Jesus telling the disciples that He would suffer and die for them. He tells them a couple times in this chapter, predicting His crucifixion. And we have the instruction of the greatest amongst the people of God, those who receive the least of these, even a child. Those who receive Jesus as the Christ receive also the Father, and they serve. For Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. And that's He's showing here as the greatest in the kingdom. And yet, we also see in the disciples' zeal, the disciples' zeal for Christ, we are warned here not to dismiss those who are Christ's and serving Him, even though they might not be of us. They might not be of our congregation, might not be of our denomination. But we ought not to dismiss completely those who are His and serving Him. Not only was this in the others casting out demons, but so too we see the same lesson in James and John, verse 54, wanting fire to come down to consume the Samaritans. They have zeal for the Lord. They want all who are not God's people to be judged. And there's a time for that. But here they're rebuked. Both are rebuked for their zeal. How would those Samaritans repent if they were immediately judged and consumed? And so zeal can often lead to sin. And so that zeal ought to be matched with and joined with wisdom and understanding of God's will and His Word. Then the end of the chapter, the zeal many had for Christ and yet a hesitation to follow Him. Some of you today may love the Lord, be zealous for the Lord, and yet be hesitant to follow Him, hesitant to serve Him, hesitant to believe what He says or obey His Word and live according to how He calls us to live. And He says, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. As I was reading the text, I was reminded of, or thinking about the There's lots of Muslims in the Middle East, especially Muslims in the world, who, if they turned and followed Jesus Christ, they would be persecuted. And so some of them, and even missionaries, wrongly tell them to go slow with the process of coming to Christ when they want to come to Christ, but they're fearful of their families. But here he says, follow me. Don't hesitate in that. Be zealous for Christ, but do not hesitate in turning to Him. Do not hesitate in serving Him when you see an opportunity to serve, even of the least of these. Be zealous and follow. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise. We're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for all these different accounts as Luke takes us through his witness, his testimony to the good news of Jesus Christ and His ministry on the earth. We're thankful for His You using Him to be an exhaustive type of witness, to give us more of the details that we have than we have in the other Gospels. We praise You that here You call us to many things. But above all, if we were to summarize all of them up, is to follow You. To take up our cross and follow You. No matter what suffering may come, no matter what struggles we may endure in going and following You, what we must do is follow You. And what comes will come. We pray that You would not allow us to be hesitant, but in our zeal, give us wisdom. In our zeal, make us bold, but also filled with love and mercy and grace, as the example we have even from Christ Himself, so that we would not want immediately for the wicked to be judged, but that You would judge at the right time, but that You would give time that they'd hear the gospel and repent and believe on Christ. That should be our desire as well. And so, Father, we pray that You would bring that about. Those we come in contact with, You'd show mercy to them by sending Your Holy Spirit and changing their hearts. Call them to Yourself. And Father, we pray that You would build us up. Some of us here are, or can be characterized by some of the things we read in this passage. Some of us are very zealous, and yet often too zealous, without wisdom. And we commit great errors. And others of us may love You, of course love You, but are hesitant. And so, Father, we pray that You would give a greater zeal and urgency for the sake of Your kingdom. Help us in all of our weaknesses. We're not all the same. And yet we are one with You. And so build us up and help us to be iron sharpening iron, and strengthen our weak souls and our weak bones to serve You in Your kingdom. Help us to follow You and all that that means in seeking first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. Father, we give You praise today, and we're thankful for the Church of Jesus Christ. We pray for those churches close to us. We pray for the Columbia congregation. You continue to help them and grow them in faith. We're thankful for the minister they now have, who's ministering consistently, preaching Your Word. We pray that You would uphold him and his family and the families of that congregation. You'd bring new peoples unto them, and You would save many. pray that you would provide a pastor for the Shawnee congregation, for the church in Denver, Westminster congregation, and the Oklahoma City church plant. Pray also for the San Antonio mission work. Pray that you would provide a minister for them. We're thankful that the fields are white for harvest and shepherds are needed. We pray that you would provide. Father, also we seek your help in knowing that we continue to struggle with our government, governing authorities. Pray that you would save them, turn them to yourself, cause them to rule according to your word. Pray for those churches in Canada we've prayed for recently. You would continue to uphold them. Have them to keep worshiping you and loving you. Even in their zeal, Father, give them wisdom. And protect those ministers there, shepherding and in some sense in harm's way of the government. Help them to be faithful to you as we pray for myself and other ministers of our presbytery as well, that you would make us to be faithful and all false teaching would be put aside. Our own thoughts would be put aside. And that your word with your biblical application would be made to us each Lord's Day morning and evening. You would uphold us and grant us wisdom from above and turn us from every worthless way and thing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.